Let's open our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 6. I'm going to speak from several verses from the 6th chapter of John. But my text and my subject, the title of the message, taken from verse 40. John 6:40, and this is the will of God. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. I'll resurrect him, his physical, mortal body. I'll raise him. Everyone, this is the will of God who sent me, Christ said. Everyone who sees the Son. And that's my subject this morning. What is it to see the Son? But everyone who sees him and believes him hath everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, if you've seen the morning paper from Roanoke this morning, you saw the headlines in the front page left side. If you didn't see it, you need to see it. Those headlines and articles said Christians over the world are troubled about and debating whether the resurrection of Jesus Christ was literal or symbolical. Christians over the world are debating whether Jesus Christ literally, actually rose from the grave in the body, or if his bones may one day be found and he only rose symbolically. Now, this is my message for you this morning with that in mind. Number one, Jesus Christ is not just a man. He is a man, but he's God. He's God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus Christ. He's God. And that Word, God, who's with God, was God, who made all things, that Word dwelt among us. It was made flesh. God was made flesh and dwelt among us on this earth. And we saw his glory. And he died on a cross and was buried. But he rose again. He is the resurrection and the life. Now, if he did not rise, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And they said Christians are debating. No, Christians aren't. Christians are religious people are debating that subject, not Christians. All Christians know that Jesus Christ is God, that he arose from the grave. And the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. Do you have it? If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. This is a joke. If he's not risen, this is all a joke. It's all in vain. It's all foolishness, preaching and believing both. Yea, verse 15, and Paul says, and all the apostles, he said, we've found false witnesses of God. Paul's saying Peter, James, and John were all liars. A false witness is a liar, is it not? They were all liars. They lied on God. Because we have testified of God, that we were taught of God, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Jesus Christ is not raised, all the apostles and prophets were liars. because they testified of God that he raised Christ from the dead. I'll tell you this. If Jesus Christ is not bodily resurrected, appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days, and bodily arose in a cloud to heaven and seated at the right hand of God, the man Christ Jesus, if he didn't rise, he's the biggest liar that ever walked in human flesh. He's the greatest imposter that ever lived. He's not a good man, he's a devil. Is that too strong? It's so. He said, destroy this body in 3 days, I will raise it up. Isn't that what he said? And when he appeared to the disciples after he arose from the grave, he said, I am he. It is I myself. Isn't that what he said? I myself. And when he rose to heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God raised, and this same Jesus shall so come again as you've seen him go in like manner. Now, everybody's a liar in this book, including Jesus Christ, if he didn't rise from the tomb. That's serious, isn't it? Read on. If the dead rise not, Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is vain. You wasting your time hoping for eternal life. And you yet in your sins. You don't have a Savior. A dead Savior is no Savior. A Savior that cannot raise himself cannot raise you. A Savior that cannot give himself life can't give you life. And verse 18, and then they that are asleep in Christ, every one of your loved ones that you buried, forget them. They perish. Forget them. Don't think about your moms anymore, your dads or your children, or though your babies that are dead. Forget them. They're rotten in a grave, and that's where they're going to stay if he be not raised. Now, that's plain language, but that ought to be preached. Preacher in this area that has any backbone ought to get in the pulpit this morning and declare those things. Because that appeared in the paper on the front page. We're not debating his resurrection any more than his deity, any more than his cross, any more than his love or his grace or his goodness. Jesus Christ is salvation. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sin. The scripture says he's become my salvation. And when God raised him from the dead, he said in Acts 17. Well, let's turn over there to Acts 17. His resurrection is proof of his deity, proof of his sacrifice, and proof that God accepted it. Look at Acts 17, verse 31. In Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance, this assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is the assurance that God gives you that Jesus Christ was not just another man, that he wasn't a liar, that he wasn't an imposter, that he's the Son of God, that he's our righteousness and our Savior. God gives you this assurance, he raised him from the dead. That's proof. That's the assurance. And I'll tell you this, he's presented in the Scriptures as God, our Redeemer, our life, resurrection, our salvation. And all who hear him, see him in that light. All who hear him, see him in that light. And all who see him, believe him. And all who believe him, right now, they have everlasting life. And God will raise them from the dead. Now let's look at these people here in John 6. This is where I want us to focus this morning in verse 28. Our Lord said in verse 27 to these religious Jews here in John 6, 27, don't labor, don't work for the meat that perisheth,
But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed, ordained, appointed. Then said they unto him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Tell us, what shall we do? And he replied, he said unto them, verse 29, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe, that you hear, that you see, and that you believe. That you believe on him whom God has sent. This is the work of God. This is the will of God. That everyone that seeth the Son and believes, that's the work of God, that's the will of God. Over here in Matthew 16, turn over there with me a moment. That you believe, this is the work of God, this is the will of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. In Matthew 16, verse 13, I want you to look carefully at this. That you believe. Now, here's what, this is the will of God, that you believe. This is the work of God. And Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What do men say? What does the common, doesn't matter, religious or whomever, just the common Joe, what does he say about me? They said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. All these people have a high opinion of him, you know, humanly speaking. He's one of the prophets. He's Elijah. He's John the Baptist. He's something great, something unusual, something different. But whom do you? Christ said to them, but whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the expected one, the anointed one, the one of whom the prophets spake, the one of whom Moses wrote, the one whom Abraham, for whom Abraham looked. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God, the only begotten, eternal Son of the living God. He's seen the Son, hasn't he? He's heard him and seen him and believed him. That's who you are. Now listen to our Lord. And Jesus answered and said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. You're blessed. Blessed of whom? Blessed of God. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that in a university. You didn't learn that in school. You didn't learn that from a man. God taught you that. God revealed that to you. No man knows the Father save the Son. And no man knows the Son but the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Flesh and blood didn't teach you that. But listen. But my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you're no longer Simon, son of Jonah. You're Peter. You're a rock. You're a stone. And on this rock, on Peter? No. On a man, a fleshly man? No. On this rock, on this testimony, on this faith, on this confession, I'll build my church. Everybody in my church is going to believe what you believe. Everybody in my church is going to be taught of God as you were. Everybody in my church is going to see the Son and believe on him for who he is and what he is and what he did and where he is. On this rock, this confession, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And listen to the next verse. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. What's the keys? Peter had the keys? No, sir. The gospel. That's the key. The key of knowledge is Christ. The key of knowledge is the gospel. The key to understanding anything is a revelation. So I'll give you this keys. I'll give you this gospel. I have it too. I have this gospel. I preach it. And whatever you bind on the earth, you'll be bound in heaven. Whatever this gospel reveals, this gospel brings forth, this gospel seed that's planted, the fruit it bears, it'll be bound in heaven.
Whatever this gospel splits and divides, these people arguing about whether he rose from the grave, those that believe him will be bound in heaven. Those that disbelieve it will be loosed, never drawn. That's right. That's what he's talking about there. Loose will be loosed in heaven. See, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and it's the power of God unto damnation. And when the gospel's preached, the scripture says to some, it's life unto life, to others, it's death unto death. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. We never fail if we preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel comes to give life. But to those who refuse it and reject it and deny it, it's death upon death. That's what it is. Let me show you another scripture. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Peter believed. We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now look at Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 1. What have you got to say about Abraham? Boy, Abraham was a great man. Abraham was a powerful man. Abraham was an example to me, and Abraham was a father of the faithful. But let's see what Abraham, verse 1, Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertains to the flesh? What did he find? What did he find? In all of his life and experiences and years, and what did he really find? What is the treasure that he found? What's the precious gem that Abraham found? What's the most lasting and wonderful thing that Abraham found? What did he find? I'll read on. Well, if he were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But what saith the Scriptures? What did Abraham find? He believed God. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you. My father revealed it. You're a blessed man. You're an honored man. You're a favored man. You're a man blessed above all men. You're blessed of God. My father revealed Christ to you. Abraham believed God. That's what he found, and it counted to him for righteousness. That's what Abraham found. Well, let's go back to the text. Listen to these people. They ask him, say, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, you believe. That's the treasure. That's the gem. That's the precious faith. Talks about the precious word. He is precious. Precious blood. But I'll tell you this, faith is precious. Where it's found, it's the gift of God. Where it's found is the greatest blessing. What did Abraham find? He found faith. Precious faith. And they said, what do we do? He said, there it is. That's what you believe God. Well, listen, they didn't believe that. Listen to them. In verse 20, 29, verse 30. Then said they unto them, well, show us a sign. Our Lord said, the sinful and adulterous generation seeks a sign. This sinful and adulterous generation seeks a sign. There'll be no sign given but the Word of God. Isn't that right, Joe? Don't seek a sign. Don't seek a feeling. Don't lay out a police. Don't test God. He's given us His Word. If a man speaks not according to the Word, there's no truth in it. There's no life in it. If a man adds to the words of this book, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. They said, show us a sign. Show us a sign. What sign showest thou that we may believe? What sign showest thou that we may see? Show us something. Show us and we'll believe. What dost thou work? Well, there were many signs. Our Lord over in John chapter 5 says John the Baptist came. Supernaturally born, wasn't he? His father was an old man, his mother too, Elizabeth. Another sign he gave, the Father spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Another sign, the Scriptures. Everything about him was fulfilled in the Scriptures. Fulfilling the Scriptures. He's born in Bethlehem. No. Scriptures, John the Baptist, the Father,
And the works that I do, he said, they bear witness of me.
But they didn't believe. They didn't believe.
Listen to what this said. Here said, show us a sign. Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, in the desert. As it is written, they quoted scripture, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.
Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. This is the bread. This is the bread of God. It's he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. They said, show us a sign. Moses gave us bread from heaven. Well, let's look at that manna a minute. Turn, if you will, to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Now, see, this manna is a type of Christ. This bread from heaven, like the smitten rock, like the serpent lifted up, like the cities of refuge, these are all types and pictures of Christ. This manna was a type of Christ. They said Moses gave us bread from heaven. Christ said, Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father gave you bread from heaven. And that bread is a picture of the true bread. Look at Exodus 16, verse 14. Let's read verse... Start with verse 13. Came to pass at evening, the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. In other words, they said, what is this? What is this? It's a portion. It's a strange thing. They wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the bread the Lord gave you to eat. This is the picture of Christ. How is it a picture of Christ? Well, it's called manna. What is it? Strange. When our Lord was born in Bethlehem, the angel said to Mary, she said, I can't have a son. I don't know a man. The angel said, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Strange. Something never happened before. Something that'll never happen again. Manna. Strange. What is it? Secondly, it was prepared in heaven and sent to earth. The Lord Jesus said, a body you prepared me and sent him into the world. God said, he said, I came from my Father. I go back to my Father. God sent him. Thirdly, it was a gift. There was no planting. There was no plowing. It was a gift of God. It lay on the ground. Unspeakable gift. Unspeakable, strange, prepared in heaven, sent to the earth, and the gift of God. Just pick it up and eat it. And fourthly, it was given to the hungry. He said in Isaiah, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. He said, don't bring any money. They didn't bring anything. No money, no price. Empty hands received the bread from heaven. And then look at verse 31 of Exodus 16. Verse 31 said, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Sweet to the taste. That's Christ. Strange, unusual. Never happened before, never happened again. Prepared in heaven, sent to earth, a body thou hast prepared me. The gift of God for the hungry. Sweet to the taste. Daily bread. They gathered it each day. Couldn't save it up. Couldn't hoard it. Sufficient for the day is the bread from heaven. Well, he told them. He told. You see, these people, these Jews had the gospel preached to them.
But Paul said, it did them no good. It didn't profit them not being mixed with
faith. They didn't believe it. They said, what shall we do? He said, believe. How are we going to work the words of God? Believe. Well, show us the sign. Moses gave us the bread. You saw that and didn't believe.
Oh, me. Well, verse 34, look at this. They still didn't believe. They said, well, won't you give us this bread? Give us this bread. Do something. Give us this bread. Bundle it up in a package and give it to us, you know. And our Lord then plainly, he declares. Now listen, he plainly declares for them and us too. Plainly and exclusively. I am the bread. I am the bread. You know, when Lazarus died. He whom thou lovest is sick. And then he died. And Mary and Martha, they loved Christ. The scripture says that little home in Bethany where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, our Lord often went to that little home. And Martha fixed food for him. And she told him, said, Lord, tell my sister to come help me. I'm preparing a meal for you. Well, Lazarus died. And our Lord stayed away 4 days. Finally came. And Martha went running out to meet him. And she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. We're so belligerent, aren't we? If you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. But she said, even now, I know that whatsoever you ask, God will give you. So she's going to tell him what to do. He said, Martha, your brother will rise again. Oh, she said, I know. We're so knowable, aren't we? I know. He'll rise at the resurrection. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. Isn't that something? She'd been with him so long. Maybe she's too busy in the kitchen. Mary found this out sitting at his feet. He said, I'm the resurrection, and I'm the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus not dead. I told the disciples he's asleep. They kept insisting, if he's asleep, good. We'll go join him, sleep with him, you know. Good for him to sleep. He said, well, I told you he's asleep, but for your sake, since you're so unable to recognize spiritual things, he's dead. He's dead to you, he's sleeping to me. Our Lord told them that they didn't believe. He said, I'm the bread. Bread's essential to life. I have a friend out in California. He's in his early, middle 40s. This is an email from his wife. I've got four left home. He has Lou Gehrig's disease. When Doris and I were out there in November, we went to see. He came to the service. She brought him in his wheelchair to the service. And he's lost all movement except he can move his left hand and work his wheelchair. He can't speak. Everything's just dying. He had a little son, 18 months old, cute little fellow, named for his dad. He's only had this disease two years later. But he's having a terrible time. And we write back and forth. She said, dear Brother Mahan, this is March the 31st, 5 days ago. I want to drop you a note, let you know Jesse's most recent status before you leave on your trip to Virginia. Jesse's disease, as it progresses, he has been battling some complicated bowel problems. In addition to the debilitating effects of the illness, listen, in light of this, yesterday, the 29th, Jesse decided the time's come for him to stop eating altogether. He'll stop eating. Now, we know you understand this is not a sign of giving up. It's not a sign of Jesse just being depressed. But Jesse's desiring that better country now, and he feels his God-given time is at hand. All in all, we're holding up well. Jesse's sister is here from Arkansas. His mother will join us in another week. Thank you for your prayers, which continue to be answered. He knows this. If he doesn't eat, he's going to die. And Christ said, I'm the bread. If you don't eat of me, you're going to die. Spiritually. That's just it. That's plain. I'm the bread. I'm the bread. He said, I'm the light. If you don't know Christ, you walk in darkness. Have you ever been in real darkness? Have you ever been down in a cave and they turn the lights out? You don't even move for fear you're going to get hurt. You don't even move. That's darkness. And without Christ, it's darkness. He's the light. He said, I'm the door. I'm the door. It's just, if you get out of here, you're going to go through there or there. Now, that's just so. I'm the door. If any man enter in by me, he'll be saved. And he can go in and out. He said, I am the way. He doesn't provide a way. He is the way. That's what he said. Martha, I'm the resurrection. He doesn't show us the way. Rise symbolically. I don't need a symbol. I need a Savior. I don't need a symbol. I've got enough symbols in religion. Let's tear down all our symbols, our crosses and steeples and everything else. He doesn't even lead us in the way. He is the way. That's just so. Well, did that do him any good? Let's see. I am the bread. Listen, verse 35. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me will never thirst. Verse 36. But I said to you, you've seen me, you don't believe. They still didn't believe. They still didn't. How in the world that I hope they're going to hear me if they won't hear me? Let another come in his own name and him men will hear. I come in my Father's name, they won't hear me. They didn't hear the Son of God. But, whoa, hang on. He said, you don't believe me. Listen to this. You don't believe me. Watch verse 37. All that my Father giveth me will believe me. I like that. He did too. In Matthew 11, he rebuked the cities of Bethsaida and Capernaum and others because he didn't believe in him. Cities in which his mighty works were done and they didn't repent. And then he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, and rejoiced and said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you've revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Now he says, you don't believe me. You've seen me and you don't believe me. But all that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me. They'll believe me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven. Not to do my will or your will or anybody else's will on this earth. I came to do the will of him that sent me. That's whose will I came to do. And this is my Father's will which has sent me. That of all which he hath given me, I lose not one. Not one. But I'll raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. That everyone in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, or Virginia, Ashland, Kentucky, out here on Route 40 West, Farrell, everyone sees the Son. Sees the Son. Hears him, sees him.
and believes on him will have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Well, maybe that has some effect on them. Verse 41, let's see. Then the Jews murmured at him. Isn't that something? And we hope to convince the people of our day. We hope with our persuasion and illustrations and our social life and our whoop-de-doos and all this stuff to convince today's Christians who are debating the Word of God. The Jews murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread from heaven. They don't mind him being a sweet little Jesus boy or a good prophet, but he ain't going to be the bread from heaven or the door or the light or the resurrection or the Savior. He can be a Savior, a prophet, but not the prophet. They murmured, he said, I am the bread from heaven. And they said, why, this is Jesus, the son of Joseph. We know his father and mother. How is he said, I came down from heaven? He's nothing but a man. He didn't rise from the grave. His bones will be found someday. And he answered them, it's all right. Murmur not among yourselves. They're going to, but it's unprofitable to murmur. A man debating God's word is a fool. A man murmuring against God's sovereignty and power and grace is a fool. Murmur not among yourselves. Listen, no man, be his education, wealth, strength, whatever, no man, no son of Adam can, has the ability, has the will, has the desire, can come to me, see me, believe on me, embrace me, except my Father who has sent me drawing, by his power, thy spirit, quickening, awakening, drawing. And I raise him up at the last day. If my Father draws him, I'll raise him up. Listen to the next verse. It's written in the prophets. It's written in your Bibles, he said, in your scriptures. And they shall all, every one of them, be taught of God. What did he say to Peter? Peter said, you're the Christ. He said, who taught you that? Flesh and blood didn't teach you that. My Father taught you that. Isn't that what he said? You believe the gospel? The Father taught you that gospel. People say, I was saved under Billy Graham. I wasn't. I was saved under the Holy Spirit. The difference. I wasn't taught. If a man can talk you into a profession of religion, another man talked you out of it. If a man can talk you into religion, into a tradition, into Catholicism or Protestantism or Judaism or Mohammedism or anything else, another man talked you out of it. But if God the Father teaches you, you're taught, and you don't pay attention to men, if he draws you, you're drawn. And they'll be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, that's what I said, they hear, and they see, and they come. Learn to the Father. You come to me. This world has seen a lot of so-called reformers and messiahs. A lot of religions have come and gone. I'm going to tell you about our Lord. Compared to those religious messiahs and reformers, all religious reformers and messiahs come to leave him. He came to die. All religious reformers and messiahs leave monuments and memorials in their honor and in their name. No one can find his birthplace, his grave, or one possession that he had. They tried to find a robe, you know. They just want something. He didn't leave anything but his word.
All so-called reformers and messiahs choose their followers from the rich, the influential, and the powerful. He chose the poor and needy. He chose the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. All religious reformers and messiahs praise human works and human righteousness. He condemned both of them. Didn't he? All religious messiahs and reformers seek those that can help them. He sought those him he could help. He said, I didn't come to be ministered of. I came to minister, give my life a ransom for many. All religious reformers and messiahs promise success and help and happiness to those who follow him. He promised tribulation. And suffering and trouble. In this world, you have trouble. Is that right? All religious reformers and messiahs hold their followers with fear and force. You better not leave. He turned to his disciples and said, will you go away? If you want to, take off. And old Peter said, well, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? You got the words of life. All religious reformers have palaces, mansions, and headquarters. He had no place to lay his head. He prayed in the wilderness and the mountains. Talked to his father in the open air. Never built a cathedral. God doesn't dwell in houses made with hands. All religious reformers and messiahs reward the most talented with recognition and titles and honors. He said, he that's least among you will be greatest. That's what he said to his disciples. All religious reformers and leaders and messiahs say, follow me, I'll show you the way. He said, you follow me, I am the way. I am the way, truth and the life. All religious reformers claim to be messengers of God. Listen, he said, he that has seen me has seen God. That's my Lord. That's our Redeemer. All religious reformers, messiahs, and religious leaders, when they die, they stay dead. And if he's still dead, he's as phony as they are. Write the paper and tell them that. But he arose from the grave. And he said, because I lead them, you'll live. You trust him. He's the resurrection and the life, and the bread from heaven. Our Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that unspeakable gift of your everlasting love. Thank you for the blessed hope that we have. Our Lord. Thank you, you've not left us in darkness and self-righteousness and human religion, but you've brought us to hear your word, to see the Son. Oh, to see the Son. And Lord, we believe. Help thou my unbelief. And in him, we have life because he is the life. Bless the message. Help us to glorify your name and
bless our dear pastor while he's away and bring him back home safely. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.